B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Chof Gimel. We're going to start the last line of Daf Chof Beis Amud Beis. Says the Gemara Toshima, we learned in a brisa, the Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Ashoshis, a lantern with a light inside, Shahoiso doileches voileches kol hayoim kuloi. It was lit the whole of Shabbos, Lamotze Shabbos, is now Motze Shabbos Kodesh, and he wants to light the menorah with it. He wants to be Yotze Mitzvahs Ner Chanukah with it. Mechabe, he has to extinguish the light. Umadliko, and then reignite it. And then he's Yotze, he's lit the Neros of Chanukah. Says the Gemara, I Omres Bishleima, if you're going to hold that Hadloka is a mitzvah, that what the main part of the mitzvah is the lighting, the Hadloka, Shapir, then I understand you have to extinguish it, relight it, and then you're Yotze. Eloi omres hanocha is a mitzvah. If you say that the ikar of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is placing it where it's supposed to be, hay mechabe umadliko, is it enough to extinguish it and to relight it? Mechabe umagbia umanicho umadliko miboyele. You should have to extinguish it and lift it away from its place, put it back, hanocha, put it where it's supposed to be, and then relight it. Just relighting it, when you haven't changed its position from the day before, it means that today's hadlaka did not have a hanocha. And without a hanocha, according to the opinion who holds hanocha is a mitzvah, you haven't been yaitza. V'oid asks the Gemara another question. Midecha mevarchino nasher kitchonu b'mitzvoiso v'tzivonu lehadlik ner shel Chanukah. The fact that the formula of our bracha is not lehaniach ner shel Chanukah, it's lehadlik ner shel Chanukah, to light the candles of Chanukah. Shma mino hadloka is a mitzvah. You see from there that the main mitzvah is the hadloka, is the lighting. Shma mino, so that's how the Gemara concludes that hadloka is a mitzvah. Continues the Gemara, V'hashta de omrinon hadloka isa mitzvah, now that we've determined that the main, the ikar mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is the lighting, is the hadloka, hidlikoi cheresh shoyte v'kotten, if somebody who's not mechuyev in mitzvahs Chanukah, like somebody who's deaf and dumb, somebody who's a shoyte, a minor, who's not mechuyev with hadlokas ner Chanukah, if they do the lighting, lo osav lo klum, you have not been mekayim the mitzvah of ner Chanukah. However, isha, a woman who lights the candles, vaday madlika, she is allowed to light, and she is mechuyev with the mitzvah of ner Chanukah. Da'amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, noshim chayovos b'ner Chanukah, noshim, women are mechuyev with the mitzvah of ner Chanukah. They too were included in the gzeirois of the Yevonim, of the Greeks. They said that a woman that before she got married, she would have to do znus with the ministers there. And also, besides the fact that they were part of the gzeirois, they were a main part in the nes. As Chazal, the Midrashim, tell us that it was a woman that brought about the defeat of the Greeks. And since afhein hoyu bois ha'nes, therefore they are mechuyev to be mefarsim, to publicize the nes, and be part of the neiros of Chanukah. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Sheshes, achsenoi, a guest, somebody who's not in his own home, he's a guest in somebody else's home. Chayev b'neir Chanukah, he cannot just rely on the candles of his host, he has to, on his own, light candles. Omer of Zera, miresh, at the beginning, ki havino beirav, when I used to go away from home and to learn Torah, mishtatafno bepriti behada ushpiza, then I would participate with the lighting of the host by paying partially, giving him a coin for a part in his oil, and when he lights, it's as if I'm lighting as well. Bosad the nasiva itza, after I got married, Amina, I said, Hashta vadai lo tzarichna. I do not need to be part of the lighting of my host. Dekomadliki olai begoy beisoi. My wife is at home. She's going to light on my behalf for my home. And then I've been yaitza machiyuv. I do not need to have a part in the lighting of my host. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Kol hashmonim kulon yofin l'neir. All oils are good they produce a nice light. V'shemen zayis, but olive oil min amuvcher. It's the choicest oil to use. Omar Abaye. Abaye said, Miresh, at first, have a mahadir mar amoshcha deshumshimi. Then we would look for the oil of sesame seeds. Omar, hai moshech nahirat fei. The reason that we would prefer the oil of sesame seeds is because it takes a long time for the oil to get absorbed in the wick, and therefore the flame stays alight for much longer than any other oil. Kiven deshoma lo lahod Rabbi Shua ben Levi. After we heard what Rabbi Shua ben Levi said, that olive oil is the choicest of all oil, Mahadir amoshcha dezeisa, we would search for olive oil. Omar, and he explained, hai tzolil nohira tfei. It's true that the oil of sesame seeds will burn longer, but the flame from olive oil is a much nicer, a much more clear and bright light. So we prefer to have the light, the candle, being on that little bit less time, but being a brighter, clearer light, rather than having a lesser quality light, but having it be a light for longer time. Continues the Gemara. And before we continue the next Gemara, I want to introduce to you what Rashi explains here. When they used to manufacture ink, black ink, there were three stages. First, they would use a candle, and they would light a candle into an upside-down glass container, and then the pitch, or whatever it was called, the surface of the glass container would become black. Afterwards, they would scrape away that soot off the sides of the container. They would mix it with a little bit of oil, and then they would knead it with a little bit of oil. It would then become a very thick black oil mixture. Then they would mix this mixture of soot with a bit of oil into all the other ingredients, if you can call it that, of the oil, of the ink, and then it would become usable liquid ink to write with. So in for all intents and purposes, oils were used in three stages of the ink making process. Number one, it was burnt in order to create the soot. Number two, an oil was used within which the soot was mixed. After that, this mixture of soot with a little bit of oil would then be mixed into the other ingredients of the ink, and part of those ingredients were also some forms of oil. Let's see the Gemara inside. So says the Gemara, V'omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, kol hashmonim, all the oils yofin l'dyoi, they are good for the process of making ink. V'shemen zayis min amuvchar. And the shemen zayis, the olive oil, is the choicest for the manufacture of the ink. Iboyelu, they asked a question, legabel oy leashen. Is olive oil good leashen to create this smoke, this soot that would be black and be used to make the ink black? Or legabel, or the oil that's used with which this soot was then kneaded together to make the original black mixture that would be put into the other ingredients? Which of the first two stages is olive oil good for? Toshema, Dotoni of Shmuel Bar Zutri, Kol Hashmonim Yofin Lidyoi, all oils are good for ink, for the manufacture of ink, V'shemen Zayis Min Amuvchar, and olive oil is the choicest, Bein Legabel, both for kneading the soot into a mush, Ubein la'ashen, and to be used to create the soot, this smoke. Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra, this is a different Manda Oma. Masni Hocha, he said as follows, Kol ha'ashonim, all the smoke-generating oils, yofin l'dyoi, are good for making the smoke, the soot, for the ink, the shemen zayis min amuvchor, and shemen zayis is the choicest of them. Omar Vuna, kol hasrofin, all the, what we call the srofim, yofin lidyoi, they're good for making ink. The sraf kotof, which is a particular type of sorof, yofin mikulam, is the choicest of all of them. Rashi explains that this sorof is a type of gum, a type of material that they would use for the making of the ink. that they would mix things, one of the ingredients of the ink. Continues the Gemara. Omar Reb Chiya Bar Ash Yomar Rav. Hamadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, somebody who lights the Chanukah candles, Tzorich Levorich. He has to make a bracha. Reb Yirmi Omar. Reb Yirmi said, Horoya Ner Shel Chanukah. Even if you do not light the candles, and even more so, especially if you're not lighting yourself, but you're at least seeing somebody else's candles of Chanukah, Tzorich Levorich, he also has to make a bracha. Omar Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda explained, Yom Rishon, on the first day of Chanukah, Horoye, if somebody just sees Chanukah candles and does not light them himself, Mevorich Shtaim. He makes two brachas. We'll soon see what they are. Umadlik, but somebody who lights the menorah himself, Mevorich Shloisha, he makes three brachas. And this is all on the first night of Chanukah. Mikan ve'elech, from the second night and on, Hamadlik Mevorich Shtaim, somebody who lights the menorah makes two brachas. V'roya mevorich achas, but if somebody only sees the menorah, somebody else's menorah, he has to make just one bracha. May memait, which bracha do you only make on the first day and not the rest of the days? Memait zman, the bracha of shechionu v'kimonu v'gionu lazman hazeh, you only make once at the beginning of every yontav. Chanukah, for the first time this year, the first time you're doing the mitzvah of menorah this year, you make the bracha once just on the first day. From the second day and on, you don't make Shecheyonu, obviously providing that you made a Shecheyonu on the first day. As to the Gemara of Nimait Nes, the bracha of Sha'osa Nisim Lav Yisenu, you should also just make that once on the first day. Says the Gemara, no, Nes Kol Yoyma Asya. There was a Nes, a new Nes, so to speak, every single day that the oil kept burning, as we saw in the Gemara previously, and therefore you make the bracha of Sha'osa Nisim every day. But the bracha of Shecheyonu, which is on the time, the tkufa, the period when the yontav is, when this mitzvah is done, that happens, that restarts happening once a year, you make the bracha then. Only on the first day. Continues the Gemara, Mai Mevorich, what brachas do you make? Says the Gemara, Mevorich asher kitchonu b'mitzvoysa v'tzivonu lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. The first bracha, and this bracha is only made by somebody who's actually lighting his menorah, you make the bracha that we know of Lahadlik Ner Chanukah, or Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah. Says the Gemara, you just said that the formula of the bracha is Asher Kitchonu B'mitzvos, so you sanctified us with your mitzvahs, V'tzivonu, you commanded us Lahadlik Ner Chanukah, to light the lights of Chanukah. Asks the Gemara, V'heichon Tzivonu, where exactly did Hashem command us to light the Chanukah menorah? Says the Gemara, Reb Avya says from the following pasuk, Milay Sosur, it says in the Torah, you're not allowed to deviate from what the Chachomim tell you, not to the right, not to the left. Since the Chachomim instituted this mitzvah, then you have a chiyuv min ha-Torah to listen to the Chachomim, and that's the Vatzivonu. Rav Nechemya says, it's from a different pasuk. The pasuk says, She'al ovicho v'yageitcho, ask your father and he'll tell you. Zekinecho, your elders, v'yemru loch, and they will tell you. And since our elders, the Chachomim, said we have to light the menorah, then the Torah that tells us that you should listen to your elders is mechayev us to do the mitzvahs that the elders said, and therefore you have a vetzivonu, you have a commandment. Mosiv Rav Amram. Rav Amram asks the following question. Hadumai, we're going to learn now a few halachas regarding demai. What's demai? Demai is two words put together. Do, mai. What is the status of this? Which means that you have an Am Haaretz, somebody who's not very learned and often lacks in many mitzvahs and many details, and we're not sure if he has fruits, and we don't know, were Trumas and Maestras taken? Were they not taken? Can I rely that they've been taken and just eat those fruits? Or do I need to be Machmir and take Trumas and Maestras again? Or as a precaution. The halacha is that one is mechuyev to take them to separate Trumas and Maestras from Demai. More accurately, Maestras, because we assume that the Amehoreds do take Truma, but we're not discussing that here. Now, one of the halachas of Demai is that a poor person is allowed to eat the Demai even without being mafresh the Maestras. And for all intents and purposes, any person could make themselves into a poor person by being mafgir all his belongings. If somebody says in front of three people, all my belongings are hefka, then from that point on, he's allowed to eat demai even without taking maisrus. And the reason that's so is because most Amei Ha'oretz, Roiv Amei Ha'oretz Ma'asrim Heim, they do take Maisa, just some of them don't. So look at Chila, the Chachomim said you should take Maisrus. But in some situations, one of them being, if you're a poor person, there are others, then you're allowed to rely on Roiv, that most of the Amei Ha'oretz do take Maisa, and therefore you're allowed to eat it even without taking Maisrus again. So let's see some of the halachas to do with Demai. Ma'orvin boy. You're allowed to use demai for eruvei chatzeros and for eruvei tchumin, which we're not going to discuss now in Maseches Eruvin, a whole Masechta that discusses this. But if you have lots of people, lots of homes that are, the homes are leading into a single yard, even though it's a Rishus Hayochid, since it's a Rishus Hayochid that belongs to many different people, you're only allowed to carry there if you do something that, so to speak, connects all of them as one being. The way to do that is to have an Eruv Chatzeris, that you have a little bit of bread that belongs to everybody on behalf of everybody in one of the homes, and then it's as if everybody lives in the same home, and then it's as if the Chotzer belongs to a single home and everybody can carry there. Eruvei Tchumin is, we know you're not allowed to go more than 2,000 Amos out of a town. If you want to, it's nothing to do with carrying, you're not even allowed to walk there. If you want to go an extra 2,000 Amos, you have to do something that, so to speak, when the onset of Shabbos, you are already 2,000 Amos out of the town, and then you can walk another 2,000 from there. How can you do that? You're in the town. What makes it true that we can pretend and assume that your Shvisa, where you are settled at the entrance of Shabbos, is 2,000 Amos away? The answer is, put a meal there, put some bread through Bein Hashmoshes in that place, and then it's as if you're there when Shabbos comes in, and you can walk 2,000 Amos beyond that. So you're allowed to use demai food either for Eruvei Chatzeros or for Eruvei Tchumin. Umeshatvim boy, there's a concept called Shtufei Muvois. If you have a number of Chatzeros all coming out into the same cul-de-sac called a Mavoy, then you're only allowed to carry in the Mavoy if we connect all the Chatzeros. The way to do that is to put some food in one of the Chatzeros, and that food is belonging to all the Chatzeros, and you're allowed to use Demai for that Eruv as well. Umevorchin Olov, if you eat Demai, you have to make a Brocha Rishoyna. Umezamnin Olov, if three people ate Demai, you can do Zimun. Umafrishin Oisei Orum, you're allowed to be Mafrish, the Maestros, and the Trumas and Maestros, even when you're not appropriately dressed. Why? Normally you cannot be mafresh, trumas and maestros when you're not appropriately dressed because you have to make a brocha. You cannot make a brocha like that. But in the case of demai, where it's only a suffix, then you do not make a brocha. If you don't make a brocha, then you're allowed to do the hafroshas, truma, and maisa, even if you're not appropriately dressed. Ubein Hashmoshes, you're allowed to be mafresh, these trumas and maestros, even bein Hashmoshes of Shabbos, even though normally you're not allowed to be mafresh, trumas and maestros, bein Hashmoshes, we're learning about that later on in this perek, but demai, which is only a sophic, you're allowed to be mafresh, trumas and maestros, even during bein Hashmoshes. Says the Gemara, now we're coming to the question. If you say that every mitzvah derabonon, anything derabonon required you to do, you have to make a bracha v'tzivonu, like we saw from either loisosur or from shal avichov yageid chozekinechov yomru lach. Hocha, in the case of demai, the chachomim said you have to be mafresh. If the chachomim said you have to be mafresh, you have to make a bracha. And if you have to make a brocha, you cannot be mafresh when you're not dressed appropriately. Hocha kiko or kikoi orum heicha mavorich. If you're not dressed appropriately, how are you going to make the brocha? V'haba inon v'hoyo machanecha kodesh. You're only allowed to say a brocha if the camp that you're in, if the surroundings and you yourself are kodesh. If you're not dressed appropriately, it's not called machanecha kodesh. V'leka, you're missing that level of kedusha to make a brocha. Omar Abaya explains as follows. Vadai de Devrayim, those chiyuvim which the Rabbonon gave us as vadai, they are certain chiyuvim, they are chiyuvim based on certainty, like you have to do the Tilas Yudayim, you have to light the menorah, boy a brocha, then you have to make a brocha. Sofik de Devrayim, but in the case of Demai, where they're only telling us to be mafresh the Trumas and Maisers because we don't know, it's a doubt, it's a Sofik, loy boy a brocha, you do not make a brocha on a Sofik. Asks the Gemara, v'hayom tov sheni. We know that in Chutz La'aretz, midrabbanon, there's a second day of Yontov. Why? Because in Chutz La'aretz, they didn't know if the first day was Yontov or the second day was Yontov. So they were machmir, they did 2 days. Sofik divremu, it's a Sofik midrabbanon, which means the Rabbanon said you have to do it. Misofik, uboy a brocha. Nonetheless, we make brochas in davening and kiddush, and we say lots of brochas that are based on the Yontov. Says the Gemara, hosam ki hecha deloy lezalzelubo. The reason that you can make brachas and yontov sheni, even though it's only a suffix, is because if you don't make brachas, people will come to disregard and disrespect yontov sheni. In order for that not to happen, they said you can make a bracha. But in other drabonons, if it's a suffix, you do not make a bracha. Rava Omar, Rava argues. Rava says that even when the chiyuv drabonon that's based on a suffix, since the chachomim said you have to be machmir, you do make a bracha. Why over here with Demai do you not make a bracha? He says, Rav ameha'oretz ma'asrin hein. It's almost not a sofik. It's almost taken for granted that you do not need to take trumas and maestras because most of the ameha'oretz take their own trumas and maestras. There's such a small chance, so it's a precaution you're taking on a very, very small percentage that you actually have to take the trumas and maestras, and therefore the chachamim said, don't make a bracha. But with Ner Chanukah, of course you make a bracha. Continues the Gemara. Omar of Huna, Chotzer sheyesh lo beis psachim. We saw that the place that you light the candles of the menorah is at the edge of your chotzer, between the chotzer and the Rosh Hashanah. What happens if a chotzer has two entrances? Tzricha shtei neiris. You have to light on both entrances into the chotzer. That's only true if the two entrances are in two different directions, on two different sides of the chotzer. If on one side of the chotzer you have two entrances, you do not need to light in both places. Why? If you say that the reason that you have to light when there's two entrances is because chashad, if you light just in one entrance, people will see the other entrance and accuse you of not having lit Chanukah candles, then chashad adaman. Let's try and understand. That means if the halacha that when there's two entrances, you have to light twice, if the reason for that halacha is because of chashad, that people will accuse you, let's understand who would accuse you. Ilei mechashad adalma. If you're talking about people who come from out of town and they do not know that the two entrances in this chotzer belong to the same home. In the bias, the home is not split into two. They know there's only one person living in that home and they can see the menorah. So people coming from outside, they don't know that. They assume maybe there are two people living here and there's only one menorah. They'll accuse one of them of not lighting. Then afilu baruach achas nami liboya. Then, in the same way as two sides of a chotzer, the people who do not know how the city is set up, how the homes are set up, are going to accuse you. They could accuse you if you have two entrances on the same side. They might think that there's two people living here and one of them has not lit. So even on the same side, you should have to light two menorahs. If the reason that you have to light on two entrances when they're on different sides of the chotzer is because of the people in this city who they know that there's only one home and it's not been split into two, this house belongs to one person, and they if it's on two different sides of the chotzer, then they will accuse you. They'll see one entrance, they'll see no menorah there, they'll accuse you of not lighting the menorah. Then afilu mishtei ruchos nami loy liboya. If you're assuming that we're talking about the people who understand and they know that the homes here are not split into two, and there's only one person living here, if so, even when there's two entrances on two sides of the chotzer, you should only have to light one, because they know that there's only one person living here, and there's a menorah on the other side, and the fact there's no menorah on this side is not an indication that somebody has not lit the menorah. Afilu mishnei ruchos nami lo liboya, you should not have to light. Says the Gemara, lo'ilom mishum chashodah de b'nei masa. The truth is, the reason you have to light on both sides of the chotzer is because the people living in this town. And it's true that if these people saw both sides of the chotzer, they would understand that since it's only one person living there, in that home, one menorah is enough, you don't need on both sides. Sometimes the people in this town are only walking past one of the entrances. They're not walking past the other entrance. And they're going to say, in the same way as in this door, in this entrance, he didn't light the menorah, he didn't light on the other side either. And therefore, you have to light on both sides. However, if it's on the same side, and anyone who walks past one entrance will be walking past the other entrance, then since they see a menorah in one, and it's people living in this town, and they know there's only one person living in that home, there's no chashad, and you only have to light one menorah. Says the Gemara, Umina temra de cheshinon lechshad. The whole concept that we are cheshish, we take extra precaution so others should not accuse us of not doing a mitzvah, where does this come from? The Tanya, we saw in the Braisa Omer b'Shimon, Bishvil arba dvorim omra toira laniach peah b'soif sodeu. Strictly speaking, there's a chiyuv in the Torah to take peah, which to leave peah, which means when you harvest your field, leave part of the field over, don't cut it down, do not harvest it, leave it for the poor people. Strictly speaking, that part that you don't harvest could be anywhere. It could be a part that you leave at the beginning of the field and you just start harvesting further in. You could leave it in the center, you could leave it at the end. However, the halacha is, the Chachomim say, and it's actually learnt out from a posuk, we'll soon see, that min haTorah, you should lekatchila leave the peah where? At the end of the field. You've finished harvesting, the last bit, leave over. That's called peah. Why did the Torah say that you should leave peah at the end of the field? Mipnei, there's four reasons. Mipnei gezel aniyim, mipnei bitul aniyim, mipnei hachashad, or mipnei bal techale. The pasuk says, lo yisechale pa'asad cholikter, etc. And we'll see in a minute what these are. Says the Gemara, mipnei gezel aniyim. What does it mean that because of gezel aniyim, not to steal from the poor people, that's why the Torah says in the pasuk, lo yisechale pa'as sodcha, do not cut down the end of the field, leave the last bit for the poor people, don't leave the bit in the middle. Shelo yire balabayis shor pnuyo. Because if you would be allowed to leave a little bit in the middle of the field as peah, then the balabayis is going to wait for the poor people not to pay attention. When there's no people here, there's shor pnuyo, there's nobody here. He'll turn to his relative, who's a poor person, and will say, you see this little bit over the field here? I'm leaving this for peah. Come, you can take it. And then what will happen is, you've stolen it, you've robbed the other aniyim of the opportunity of taking the peah. However, if you take the peah at the end of the field, all the aniyim can see. You're coming to the end of the field. The last bit's going to become peah, so they all have an equal chance to take the peah. Continues the Gemara, umipnei bitul aniyim. The second reason the Torah says that you should leave peah at the end of the field is because of bitul aniyim. In order they shouldn't just be idle right through the harvesting period, not go to work and not do anything. Why? Shelo yu aniyim yoishvin umashamrim. Because if you could leave peah anywhere in the field, then the poor people are going to sit idly and just wait and watch. They'll say to themselves, maybe achshav maniach balabayis peah. At any given moment, maybe now the balabayis is choosing to leave a little bit peah. Let's go and take it. Which means right through the harvest, they're being betalim. They're just being idle. In order to prevent that, they said, the Torah said, leave peah at the end. So the poor people, they can estimate how long it takes to harvest the field, and they know that only at the end is going to be the peah. Continues the Gemara, mipnei hachashad. The third reason the Torah said is that you should take peah from the end of the field and not in the middle is because of chashad. Shaloyu Oivrim Vashovim Oimrim, because in the event that you could leave Peah in the middle of the field, people passing by the field can't see that, and they'll say, Tovoy Ma'ora La'odom Shaloyu Niach Peah Basodeu. All they see is that he's harvested right to the end of his field. They can't see that he's left a little piece in the middle of the field as Peah. They will assume that he hasn't left Peah. They'll curse him. To avoid that, the Torah said, leave Peah at the end of the field. This is the source in the Torah, Mishum Chashad, that we take other people accusing us seriously. Umishum Bal Techale, the fourth reason the Torah says you should leave Peah, especially at the end of the field, not in the middle of the field, is because of the Pasuk that says, Uvekutzurchem is Ktzir Artzechem, when you cut down the produce of your fields, Loisechale Pe'asotcha, don't liktzir, don't end the ktsira, don't end the cutting right till the end of the field, leave the last bit. That's the fourth reason, because we have this pasuk. Asks the Gemara, I don't understand. Otukulu lav mishum bal techale ninu? The Torah says, loy sechale. The Torah says you have to leave Peah at the end. And we've just given three different explanations, gezel aniyim, bitul aniyim, and chashad, for, as a reason why the Torah said don't leave Peah in the middle of the field, leave Peah at the end of the field. But Lo Yisachale is not a new reason, that's the Makir, that's the source of this halacha. Says the Gemara, you're right, Omar Rava Mipnei Haramoin. In order that, to avoid people who are going to be, to cheat, to be deceitful, you'll get those people who, they won't take Peah, they won't want to take Peah, because they're Ramoin. They're going to steal it for themselves. And they're going to just tell people. People are going to say, one minute, you haven't taken Peah. They're going to say, what do you mean? We took Peah in the beginning of the field, on the other side of the field, in the middle of the field. Nobody would know any better. Now that the Torah says, Lo Yisachale, you only take Peah at the end of your field, there's no room for cheating. Everybody will know that you haven't left Peah, and therefore people will not be a Ramoim, they will not be deceitful, and they will leave their Peah. So those are the four reasons, one of them being Chashad, and that's the source that there's a concept called chashad, and in the case of the Chanukah lights, if you have two entrances, one on each side of the chotzer, you have to light the menorah in two places. Many people today, for whatever good or bad reason, are not makpid on this, and even when they have two entrances into their homes, they only light in one. Many poskim say you should light in two. Ask your Rav. Continues the Gemara, Omar of Yitzchok bar Radifa Omar Vuna. Neir sheyeshlo shnei piyos. You had this little earthenware container called a neir. The neir is actually not the light, the flame itself. The neir is the container that's holding the oil and the wick on top of it. So if you have a little container and it's got two mouths, which means that there was oil inside the container and a wick sticking out on one side and a wick sticking out on the other side. Oile lebeis b'nei adam. We saw in the Gemara previously, in Mahadrin, you had more than one flame per home, per night. And therefore, you can use this little neir, this container, as two candles. Omar Rava, Milo ka'oro shemen. If somebody filled up a plate, a dish, with oil, ve'ikifo psilois, and all the way around, he put some wicks. There were floating some wicks there. Then kofa aleim kli, he can turn upside down a lid onto this kli. In this lid, there's a hole. This hole will keep each flame separate. They will not blend and merge into one big fire in the middle. And since each candle can be discerned, can be easily defined on its own, they can be oile lekama bnei adam. It can count for different people. You have five wicks, then there could be as if five people are lighting a single candle on the first night. Loi kofa aleo kli. If you did not separate and keep the flames apart by having a kli, a cover, over this plate with the oil, and the holes for each wick are kept separate, aso o kamin madura, then what will happen is the wicks will slowly meet in the center of the plate. It will look like it's just one big bonfire. Since it's not called a single flame, it's just called a big fire, you cannot be yotze, even for one person, one light, you're not yotze. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rava, Shitali, I'm taking it for granted, Ner Beisai v'Ner Chanukah. If on Friday night you only have one candle, you can either use it for covered Shabbos, what we would call Shabbos candles, or you can use it for your menorah. It's clear to me, Ner Beisai Odif, better to have Shabbos candles, Mishum Shloim Beisai, because being in the dark is very depressing, and on Shabbos we need to have extra Shalom in the home. Shalom, it's got to be comfortable in the home, and if it's dark, you cannot use any of the menorah, you're not allowed to use, and if the house is going to be dark, then there's not going to be Shalom Beisai, and therefore we prefer that you use the single candle that you have, the single light, single oil, or whatever you've only got one of, use it for Shabbos candles rather than for Chanukah candles. Neir Beisai v'Kiddush Hayom, what happens if you have money either for Shabbos candles or for wine to make Kiddush? What takes precedence? Says the Gemara, Neir Beisai Odif, again Mishum Shloim Beisai. We prefer that you have Shalom in the home, it's comfortable in the home, you're not sitting in the dark, rather than having wine to make Kiddush on Friday night. Continues the Gemara, Boya Rava. Rava asks the following question, Neir Chanukah v'Kiddush Hayoyim Mahu. What happens if you only have money either for Chanukah candles or for wine for Kiddush? What takes precedence? What's more important? Kiddush Hayoyim Odif, do we prefer that you use the money to buy wine? The Todir, because Kiddush you do more often than lighting Chanukah candles, and we know that whatever is done more often takes precedence. Oy Dilma, Ner Chanukah Odif. Maybe you should rather spend the money to buy the candles for Chanukah candles, Mishum Pirsum Inissa, because there's a special important aspect in Chanukah that you don't have almost anywhere else, and that's the requirement to publicize the Nes. Maybe that takes precedence. Says the Gemara, Bosor Di Boya, after Rava asked the question, Hodor Poshta, he made his own conclusion, Neir Chanukah Odif, it's better to use the money for Neir Chanukah, Mishum Pirsum Anissa, in order to publicize the Ness of Chanukah. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Huna, Harogil B'Neir, if somebody is common, has a lot of candles, and Rashi says this is talking about Neir Shabbos and Neir Chanukah, he will merit Havin Leibonim Talmidei Chachomim, his children will be Talmidei Chachomim. And Rashi brings, because the Pasuk says, Ki Neir Mitzvah V'Toyra Oyer, Toyra is compared to light, and Rashi says, Al Yidei Neir Mitzvah, De Shabbos V'Chanukah, Bo Oyer De Toyra. You want to have children that will merit to the light of Toyra, you should be very careful and makbid to have enough and plenty candles for Shabbos. And regarding Neir Chanukah, even though we're not allowed to add or change the number of candles, Harogil B'Neir, the Rishonim say, is you should be makbid. You should do it in the choicest way. You should have the best menorah, the nicest menorah, the best wicks, the best oil. Do your best to make the mitzvah as perfect as you can, and in that schus, you'll have children that will appreciate the light of Torah. Continues the Gemara. In the similar vein, in the same way as somebody who's careful and particular with Neir Shabbos and Neir Chanukah, he'll be deserving of children. Talmidei Chachomim, Hazoyer b'mezuzah. If somebody is careful to be mekayim the mitzvah of mezuzah properly, Zoyecha l'dira noah, he will merit to have a beautiful home. Hazoyer b'tzitzis. If somebody is careful to be mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis in the best way, Zoyecha l'talis noah, he is going to be Zoyecha, he'll merit having nice and beautiful clothes. Hazoyer b'kiddush hayoyim. Somebody who's careful and makbid with to make Kiddush on Shabbos the best way, Zoyche umemale gar beyayin, he will merit, he'll have riches, he'll have money, he'll be able to fill many containers, many barrels with wine. Continues the Gemara, Rav Huna have a rogil, Rav Huna was often to have a cholif v'toni, he would pass by a pischa de Rabbi Ovin. The entrance, the door, the home of Rabbi Ovin, Nagra, Rabbi Ovin the carpenter, Chozo de Havarogil Basharga, Beshragi Tuva, he saw that there were many candles there on Friday night. Omar, he said, Tre Gavra Ravrava, and it's clear to me that two very great men, Nofke Mehocha, are going to come out from Rabbi Ovin and his wife. Nofke Minayu, and who came out of Rabbi Ovin? Two great people, Rabbi Idi Bar Ovin, Rabbi Chia Bar Ovin. Continues the Gemara, Rav Chizda have a rogil, da have a cholif, a tonya pischa, de beinasha, de Rav Shizbi. Rav Chisda used to pass by the home of the father, Nasha is the father of Rabbi Shizbi. Chaza de Havarogil Bashrage Tuva. He saw that there was a lot of light there. Omar, he said, Gavar Rabba Nofik Mihocha. He's going to have a child who's going to be a great person. Nofak Minei, Rabbi Shizbi. And he had a child, Rabbi Shizbi, who was a very great person. Continues the Gemara. De Bisu de Rav Yosef. The wife of Rav Yosef, Havam Achra Umedlakis Lo. She would light Shabbos candles in the very, very last moment before Shabbos. Omar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said to her, Tanya, it says in a Braisa, Lo Yomish Amud Ha'onon Yoimum V'Amud Ha'esh Laila. We know that in the desert, in the Midbar, there were two clouds. During the day, there was a cloud called Amud Yoimon, Anon Yoimum, and that would travel in front of them, clearing the way for them. At night, there was Amud Esh, there was a pillar of fire that would give them light. And this pasuk is not really necessary because there's another pasuk to the same effect. So what is this pasuk coming to teach us? Melamed she'amud onon, when it says that lo yomish amud ha'onon yoimam v'amud ha'esh laila. What does that mean? That the amud onon mashlim, he would terminate its job, la amud esh, leaving room for the amud esh to come. What does that mean? That means that even though the amud onon, even though the time frame that the amud ha'onon yoimom should have been there until the end of the day, no, it ceased, it terminated its job and allowed the amud esh to start lighting the way for Klal Yisrael before nightfall. The amud ha'esh mashlim la'amud ha'onon, and the amud ha'esh would make space for the amud ha'onon yoimom to come before the end of the night. So you see that it's derech eretz, that the light that's going to light up for the night is not going to come in the last minute, and you're supposed to bring the light a little bit earlier, before the onset of the night. And this was a message of Rav Yosef to his wife. It's inappropriate to light the Shabbos candles in the very last second. Savro lakdume. So she said, okay, so I light very early. I light the Shabbos candles way in advance. Omar lo, Rav Yosef said, Omar lo ahu saba. So this ahu saba, which may well be Eliyahu HaNovi, it's a discussion in the Rishonim. Eliyahu HaNovi said to her, Tonino, we learned in a braisa, ubelvad shelo yaktim v'shelo yachir. You shouldn't light too late, but don't light too early. And the Rishonim discuss how early you're allowed to light, and depending on if you are Mekabel Shabbos when you're lighting, if you're not Mekabel Shabbos with your lighting, it's a discussion in the Rishonim. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rova, Derochim Rabbonon, somebody who loves the Chachomim, Havilei Bonin Rabbonon, he will merit that his children will be Chachomim. The Moikir Rabbonon, somebody who respects and honors the Chachomim, Havilei Chasnavso Rabbonon, his sons-in-laws are going to be Talmidei Chachomim. The Dochil Rabbonon, somebody who fears and has awe for Talmidei Chachomim, who Gufa have a Tzurvim Rabbonon, he himself will become a type of Talmud Chacham, but not a regular Talmud Chacham, a very sharp scholar, a Tzurvim Rabbonon. V'i lav bar hachihu. If he's not the type of person that is able to become a Talmud Chacham, Rashi says because he's not rogil lasik b'teira, he doesn't learn enough, then at least he'll merit something similar to what Talmidei Chachamim have. Mishtam on mili, his words will be heard, will be listened to, Ketzuv Rabbonon, the same way as people listen to the words of Talmidei Chachamim. Continues the Gemara. V'loi b'shemen sreifa v'chulu. We saw in the Mishnah, you're not allowed to light Shabbos candles with shemen sreifa. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, my shemen sreifa. Omer Rabba, Rabbi says, Shemen shel truma shenitma. It's talking about truma that became tomei. And the halacha is, you're not allowed to eat truma that became tomei. And in order that chas v'shalom, nobody should eat it by mistake, there's a mitzvah to get rid of it, to burn it. And so the Mishnah is telling us, you're not allowed to use that oil for your Shabbos candles. V'amai korilei shemen streifa. Why do we call this oil shemen streifa? Hoyelul streifa oimed. Since it's slated to be burnt, as we just explained, that's why it's called shemen streifa. Ubashabas Maitameloi, why are you not allowed to use it for your Shabbos candles? It's not Osir Bano, you're allowed to have benefit from it, you're just not allowed to eat it. So why can't you burn it? Says the Gemara, Mitoich Shemitzvah Olov Levaroi, since there's a mitzvah to get rid of it, Gezeira Shemoyate. There's a gzeira, you'll be so excited and you'll want the oil to be burnt as quickly as possible, you may tilt the candle in order for it to burn faster and better, and that's severely osa on Shabbos, and therefore they said, don't burn your truma with your Shabbos in your Shabbos candles. Omale Abaya. So Abaya said, Elo me'ato, if the reason you're not allowed to use shemen sreifa for your Shabbos candles is that you might tilt it, and you're not allowed to tilt a candle on Shabbos, Yontav Lishtari, there's no Issa to light a fire on Yontav. So why can you not use Shemen Sreifa for your Yontav candles? Alomotnan, why do we learn in a Mishnah later on in this Perek, Ein Madlikin B'Shemen Sreifa B'Yontav? You should not use this Truma Tameah and burn it in your Yontav candles. If the whole reason you're not allowed to use it for Shabbos candles is you might tilt it, on Yontav you're allowed to tilt it. Says the Gemara, Gezeira Yontav Otu Shabbos. We made the Gezeira in order that you shouldn't, by mistake, burn the Shemen Sreifa on Shabbos in your Shabbos candles. We said, don't use it for Yontav candles either, because if you use it for Yontav candles, you may come to use it for your Shabbos candles as well. Rav Chisda Omar, Rav Chisda argues, and he says, L'shemo yate lo yichai shinon. We are not worried, we're not concerned that a person is going to tilt the light of the Shemen Sreifa on Shabbos, because it burns nicely. It's not one of the oils that flicker that we said at the beginning of the Mishnah that you're not allowed to use on Shabbos. It burns okay. We're just concerned that you're going to want it to burn even quicker. He says, we're not worried, we're not choshesh for Shema Yate. Elohocha. So why in our Mishnah are you not allowed to use Shemen Sreifa on Leil Shabbos? He says, our Mishnah is not talking about a regular Leil Shabbos. A regular Friday afternoon, you're allowed to use Shemen Sreifa for your candles, for your Shabbos candles. Over here, we're talking about B'yontav Shechol Liyos Erev Shabbos. We're talking about the Erev Shabbos happens to be a Yontav as well. And Lefi She'ein Sofrin Kochim B'yontav, in the same way as there's Alocha, which we're going to learn later about. You're not allowed to burn Kochim that needs to be burnt. You're not allowed to burn it on Yontav. So too, Truma that needs to be burnt, you should not burn on Yontav. And since lighting these Shabbos candles is now on Yontav, because Erev Shabbos is Yontav, you're not allowed to do that on, you're not allowed to burn the Truma on Yontav. Asks the Gemara of our Midiktoni Sefer, since we saw in a future Mishnah, in this Perek, Ein Madlikin B'Shemen Sreifa B'Yontav, you're not allowed to light Truma Tameah on Yontav, Michlal, we can understand from there, Dereisha, that the Mishnah we're discussing here that says that Ein Madlikin B'Shemen Sreifa for Shabbos, Lav B'Yontav Oskinon, is not talking about burning it on Yontav. So we're not talking about the Erev Shabbos is Yontav. So it must be the Erev Shabbos is during the week, is a regular weekday. And if it's a regular weekday, why can you not burn and light the Shabbos candles with Shemen Sreifa, according to Yurav Chizda, that you're not worried Shemo Yate? Omer Rav Chanina Misura, Rav Chanina from a place called Surah, he explained, Ma Tam Koma. It's not, there's one case in the Reisha, Ein Madlikin B'Shemen Sreifa, and there's another case in the Mishnah at the end, Ein Madlikin B'Shemen Sreifa B'Yomtav, and then we say, is it talking about, it can't be talking about they're both on Yontav. No. It's one Mishnah, it's considered one Mishnah, it's one case. It's a Ma'atam, the second Mishnah is explaining the first Mishnah. So we're back to what we said before. We're only not allowed to use Shemen Sreifa for Shabbos candles if Erev Shabbos is Yontav. And the reason that you're not allowed to light Shabbos candles on Yontav with Shemen Sreifa is because of what it says in the next Mishnah, that Ein Madlikin Shemen Sreifa B'Yontav. Ma Tam Ein Madlikin B'Shemen Sreifa B'Yontav. Why are you not allowed to light in our first Mishnah on Erev Shabbos, which happens to be Yontav? Why are you not allowed to use Shemen Sreifa? Lefi, because of what it says in the next Mishnah, She'ein Sofrin Kochim B'Yontav, the Achrayim change the Girsa and say that what it means is, because it says in the next Mishnah, that you don't burn Shemen Sreifa on Yontav. Tanya Kavaseid Rav Chisda, there's a Braisa that says, like Rav Chisda, What does it say in the Braisa? Kol elu she'omru ein madliken ben b'Shabbos. All those that it says in the beginning of our Mishnah, that you're not allowed to use them, the wicks and the oils, to light Shabbos candles, because they do not burn nicely, and you might end up tilting the candle to burn better, and that's also on Shabbos. Madlikin ben b'yontov. You are allowed to use them all on Yontov, to light Yontov candles, because on Yontov there's no issa to tilt the candle. Chutz mi shemen sreifa, besides for shemen sreifa, where the problem is not that it doesn't burn nicely, it burns perfectly. Chutz mi shemen sreifa, if you shein sofin kochim b'yontov, the reason you're not allowed to use shemen sreifa on Yontov is because of a different halacha. A halacha, you're not allowed to burn kochim or truma tumea on Yontov. And this is proof to what Rav Chisda said, that the reason that you're not allowed to use this oil for Shabbos candles is because of Ein Sofin Kochim B'Yomtev, and we're talking about that Erev Shabbos is a Yomtev. But in the event that Erev Shabbos is a regular Friday, a weekday, you are allowed to use Shemen Sreifa for your Shabbos candles. And Tosfos explains that the way to read this Braisa in order for it to be a proof to Rav Chisda is as follows. Kol elu she'omru ein madliken ben b'Shabbos, madliken ben b'Yomtev. Any wick or oil that you're not allowed to use on Shabbos for Shabbos candles because they do not burn nicely, you are allowed to use them for Yontov candles because there's no issa to tilt a light on Yontov. And kol shekein, those wicks and oils that you are allowed to use for Shabbos candles, you're allowed to use them for Yontov candles. It goes without saying. Chutz mi shemen sreifa, besides for shemen sreifa, that even though it's mutter to light them for Shabbos candles, you're not allowed to use them for Yontov. Lefish ein sofin kochim b'yontov, because you don't burn kochim and truma tumea on Yontov. And that's proof to what Rav Chisda said, that you're allowed to use shemen sreifa on a regular erev Shabbos for Shabbos candles. You're not allowed to use them for Yontov. And the mitzvah shem in the next year, we're going to continue from here.